Hey, well, there it is.
I didn't know if it was going to be there.
Everybody's phone's off.
I think my phone's off. I hope it is. I'm not expecting any calls.
You'll hear my Leslie Jordan ringtone that says, answer the phone, bitch.
I like that.
Maybe I should set it loud.
Yeah, maybe you should. Well, hello. Here we are. You're listening to The Voice of Vashon 101.9 in Vashon, Washington. Yay. And you're listening to The Clutch. I'm your host, Linda Nygaard. And I'm sitting here in this lovely studio with Susan McCabe.
Hello.
And Heidi Skrypek.
Hi there, guys.
And we are about to launch off on in a pretty scattered program. We have a lot of fun things to think about today. But first of all, what?
Life is good.
You feel good?
Yeah.
James Brown? That's good.
I feel good.
I knew that I would. Now you should see my slide.
I love that song.
Your thighs?
No, her slide.
No, your slide.
It's called the James Brown slide.
Oh, that.
1, 2, 3, jump, and then you drag.
And then you drag that foot.
Ooh, I like that.
She'll have to do a demo on that one. Mm-hmm. Anyway, hello. We haven't seen each other in a few days or a month.
Yeah,
or,
a couple weeks.
You know, it's been a while. How are you? What's new?
Oh boy, work is new on my, yeah. I took a massive contract with my former employer as a project manager and copy editor, whereas before I was just copy editing and some deeper long form copywriting.
Yeah. And now the whole thing is in your lap.
Oh, fire hose of work.
Well,
and it is adrenaline inducing, pit smelling work.
Oh, that's funny.
True.
I'm glad you're busy, and I'm sorry you're so busy.
It's going to affect my time in the studio.
We're going to talk about busy.
Let's do it.
In a little while.
Yeah. What's going on?
So, nothing new with me, really. I've just been, you know... Oh, I guess I do have one exciting thing to say.
Yes.
Stirring the Pot is coming back as of October 5th. Yeah.
Wow. That's like next week, girl.
That's next week. And I'm really excited. For those of you who don't know, Stirring the Pot is a food show that I did before COVID hit. And then we stopped during COVID. And I miss it.
Will you be solo?
No. I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Okay.
and then, you know, I was talking with... I was talking with Heidi and Susan one day about it, and I said, I really miss doing Stirring the Pot. I think I want to bring it back. And they both laughed and said, oh, well, you should, because, you know, you try to make the Clutch every show into a food show, too. So
she would bring food, which we liked. I don't have any complaints about that.
Does that mean there'll be no more food for the Clutch?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe you'll have to come by Stirring the Pot. But anyway, Stirring the Pot is going to be on the Tuesdays that the Clutch is not on. So there'll be something every Tuesday.
Clever.
Okay.
At 3 p.m.
At 3 p.m. And I have really fabulous co-hosts. My good friend Tom Conway is going to co-host with us. And that'll be really, it'll be fun. And then my good friend Susan Powell, who's a chef, a transplant, a Vashon transplant. From Ashland.
We like her.
Yes, we do.
We like her a lot. She told us great stories the last time we did the Clutch.
So they're going to take turns co-hosting. But I'll always be here. Maybe.
So you're here every Tuesday, basically.
I'm here every Tuesday.
That's going to work. Yeah.
So I'm really happy about that. And
congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Really happy about that. So this is the point where we usually go about a COVID update.
Mm-hmm. Joe Biden got his booster shot.
Oh, he did? Yeah. I didn't hear that yet.
I'm wondering how he's feeling.
I've heard the booster shot is nothing.
That's great.
I think it depends on the person. I've heard many different stories. I got a flu shot today.
You did?
Yeah, it's time.
It was nothing. No, it's nothing. I feel fine. The nurse who gave it to me was so good, I barely felt the pinprick.
I love those nurses.
Oh, she was wonderful.
What are they doing about flu shot and COVID booster? Are they advising spacing it out or?
Yes, because I did mention it today and they said, you know, don't do them all at once. Don't pile it up.
Okay. Yeah. So that makes sense to me too.
Yeah.
I read an update that said something about 177 for the year or something like that, COVID in Vashon.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. For the year or for the entire pandemic?
Gosh, I hope it's
I guess I said I year. I mean pandemic.
Yeah, for the entire pandemic.
No. You journalists are really tough on
Sorry.
Me. That's good. Betcha. I'm glad you are.
We're going to hold your foot to the fire, babe.
Other people misunderstand it too. I know. Anything else on COVID?
Oh, gosh.
I had a lovely weekend and on the Oregon coast in a little town called Manzanita. And people were very careful. The tourist part of town was called a mask zone.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in, you hit that block, and there are signs saying you are entering a mask zone.
That's like wonderful. That.
Yeah, and people were very nice about it.
I used to live in Manzanita.
I know, and it was
love
lovely.
It there.
It's really cool. And
isn't
they are
a cute little town.
They are building one huge vacation rental after another.
Boy. Oh, it's what it is. It's really
corporate vacation rentals.
Don't get me started.
They're not. Yeah.
Don't get me started.
That was our topic last time.
Never mind.
Well. With regard to COVID, excuse me, I'm moving this mic. I'm sorry. There. I read an essay the other day that I'd like to share with you just because it's short. It's not that long.
Yeah.
But just because it gives a different perspective about COVID. It's by a woman named Lori Wagner, and it's called Susie Gets Her Game Back. My 84-year-old mother, Susie, is getting basketball hoop put in her driveway. Not for the grandkids, not for her neighbors, but for herself. She came to this decision in therapy last week when she figured out why she'd been so blue this past year. I need to find my spirit, she wrote in an email to me and my sibs. You've heard me talk about Susie before. She's a badass, a notorious Dodger fan who brings her mitt to the game in hopes of catching a ball. She's broken her nose 3 times, once when she was playing catcher at a temple picnic, another when she was climbing a tree to pick an apple, which fell directly onto her nose. At the gym, she rents the batting cage, getting ball after ball thrown at her. Come on, gal, she yells when she misses. We were able to talk her out of getting a motorcycle at 70 after she took the fall in the training class. But the basketball hoop may work out. The feel of the ball in her hand, the sound of the bounce in the driveway, and then the crouch and the lift to get it to the net will make her happy, not to mention the thrill of showing off to her young neighbors. I was the oldest woman on the AIDS ride, she loves reminding us. My mom's a bit of a performer. She always has a sailor's mouth, too. Once she jumped out of a cake dressed as a Beatles groupie on my father's 35th birthday. When I looked at those pictures, I always forget that it was my dad's day because all the light seemed to be shining on mom. Mm. It's been a life like that. Lots of activity, lots of light, lots of fun. She went to 3 colleges to find a husband and loves telling the story of throwing JW's engagement ring off the bridge at the University of Colorado in her sophomore year. As if she were made of engagement rings, as if there were more rings right around the corner. And there were. She was married to my dad for 50 years, and after he died, she took a lover at 73. Nothing more stunning than the story she recounts of one of their first dates, slow dancing with him in his living room, and how their clothes magically fell to the floor, like leaves blowing off a tree in a warm wind. Pre-pandemic, my mother was impossible to get on the phone. Busy lady, meetings all over town, appointments and dinners with friends. Her voicemail box was always full. Her dining room table is always set for 2, almost like she's waiting for someone, and it'll be easy when they get there. And though friends do drop by, she eats most nights alone with her dog, Jack. I've been depressed, she tells us. I get it. And while there's plenty to be depressed about, the state of the world, a pandemic that has lasted 17 months, climate change, I wonder if my mom's depression has something to do with slowing down and how silence can give rise to all the feels, like what it's like to be 84 and alone and to have all this quiet time to reflect on your life, the way you loved, what you did and did not do, what you'll never do again. If you've lived your life in a swirl of activity, too busy to return phone calls because you've got a calendar loaded with dates. If you've been a woman who has popped out of cakes and slow danced in the nude at 73, if your busyness has kept you from feeling alone, if it's kept you feeling worthy, as it has for my mom and certainly for me, then this year and a half of deep quiet and reclusiveness might have been a little uncomfortable. Interesting, Mom's been telling us that this has been a homecoming of sorts, and that as uncomfortable as it's been to learn to be with herself, without all the hustle and the noise of life, she respects it. She understands its power. knows that maybe this quiet time is a prequel of sorts, a chance to practice a little inner peace. On the other hand, basketball. My mom's therapist told her, you have a choice. You can move toward life or you can move toward death.
Whoa.
I dig it. I dig it. I identify with a lot of what's in there, mm-hmm. except for the some of it I don't, but it was good.
What don't you identify with?
Well, I'm not talking about it. No, I'm not in my 70s to slow dance naked, but I've been in my 50s to slow dance naked.
Yeah, well, you can do
that.
Well,
there you go.
Yeah.
Good at any age.
There you go. I like it.
It just really struck me as she's 84.
Putting
in a basketball hoop.
Great example of resilience. The other thing that I thought of was I've been reading a lot about Alzheimer's and dementia and mm-hmm. the things that prevent it. And one of those things is having a sense of purpose.
Aha.
Oh,
so a reason
sure.
to get up in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of people, COVID took that away.
Oh, I think so too.
And it's important to create for yourself, especially as we enter the Northwest winter.
Oh, yeah.
A reason to get up in the morning, something you're passionate mm-hmm. about, something you care mm-hmm. about. Something you want to get done and do it at the same time every day because that's good for your health too.
I like it.
What do the thing at the same time every day?
Everything. Just have a routine.
Get up at the same time every day. Go to bed at the same time every day.
Yeah.
I
get that. Yeah. It's been an interesting year and a half.
It really has.
And a lot of different points of view, a lot of different good things have come out of it, I think.
Definitely.
I think a lot of folks have reflected mm-hmm. on their mm-hmm. lives. A lot of people have dramatically changed their lives, mm-hmm. which is showing up in the employment statistics.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it is so great that people in the service industries have decided they're not going to work for slave wages anymore. And look what that does. By gosh, the employers have got to step up.
Well, it's also resulted in a whole bunch of new businesses, new little businesses.
Yeah.
Little home Etsy, that kind of stuff.
Work
you know, a lot
home.
Of people are doing work from home and crafts, you know, things. And I don't know, people are just saying they're going to figure out how to do this.
The side hustle thing.
The side hustle. What do they call it? Side gig. Yeah.
Side gig, side hustle. And that is such a good thing that's come out of the pandemic.
I think so mm-hmm. too.
I agree.
Yeah. I think so too.
I want to say really quick on that note about the hospitality industry, mm-hmm. Dick's Drive-In, they're going to $19 an hour wage, which is really good.
Well, that's pretty good.
And then it's even higher in city limits in Ballard and Capitol Hill locations. It's a buck higher. And then after the probation period, they're kicking in for childcare and something else.
Wow.
Some other really interesting incentive. So they're getting really creative with their compensation packages.
That is such good news.
Isn't
and
it?
I hope they set an example for
too.
Other
yes.
employers.
Yeah.
They're going to get the good folks.
Oh yeah,
they will. They'll mm-hmm. get the good people. I read that McDonald's is paying $20 an hour.
Oh my goodness.
You know, so if more businesses would jump on that bandwagon, we'd be a much healthier society.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, it's not over yet, as we know about all the states that are in so much trouble and the hospitals overflowing. And
I have heard medical types on that other radio station talk about the potential for continued variations of mm-hmm. the virus
thing.
Variants are going to continue to mm-hmm. pop up, especially if people don't get vaccinated.
I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday who is a retired nurse, but she still has nurses who are working full time, and they work at Oregon Health Sciences University, which is a big, huge hospital.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how exhausted they are. And she said, you know, Linda, if you're not a nurse, you don't really understand. She said, there's like 5 nurses required when a patient is in trauma with COVID. There's 5 nurses per patient because they're all so specialized.
Right.
Not every time, obviously, but she said they've been doing this now for what, almost 2 years, and they're exhausted and they're sad and they're angry, and yet they're you know, their hearts, they wouldn't be nurses if they didn't have a heart in it. And so they don't feel like they can just leave these people.
Yeah, it's a full squad, and the squads are burning out.
Yeah, they are. And now other hospitals, some hospitals are having to ration care.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard that.
People in palliative care who maybe have cancer or kidney disease because there's no bed because somebody that didn't get vaccinated is in it.
Have you seen the memes on social media? They're usually of a theme that people who've chosen not to get vaccinated should be put on the medical care back burner and not be given the services for those, you know, for example, you know, you chose to smoke and now you have COPD and you're going to the hospital for treatment, back in the line, that kind of stuff. I've seen some of these memes floating around. I've seen friends basically tell other friends to go F themselves because they disagree. You know, it's causing big.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I was listening to Tom Hartman this morning and a gentleman called in and said, I know what we should do with these unvaccinated people who show up at the hospital with COVID. He said, you build a tent hospital. And when they come, and the tent hospital is right next to all the big semis that are packed with bodies because they're temporary morgues. And you set up this tent and you ask people, were you vaccinated? And if they say no, they go to the tent. And if they say yes, they go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And so then they were talking about historically how that's what happened when TB was on the rise. They segregated the hospital and the TB patients had to go elsewhere.
Wow.
Because it was so contagious. And this man was saying, you know, we should do that. But as an added jab, there's a portable morgue to look at.
That's really interesting.
I know. It's a little brutal, but
I don't know. You start to feel that way.
And you're a guy that's scheduled for heart surgery and you can't have it because somebody didn't get vaccinated.
Yeah, that's happening.
It's happening a lot now.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yep. Cardiac patients getting denied. But it's true. I mean, we have to talk about it because not that Vashon, I mean, yay, Vashon, you guys rock.
Right, right.
You've done so well getting your vaccinations. It's such a high vax. This is like a model for the whole rest of the
country.
Really
is. It is. And masks are everywhere except on weekends.
Mm, that's true. Across the street. We see you over there.
I see you over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Stay healthy, guys.
Stay healthy and get your shots if you didn't. I know some people who didn't and were not. It's pretty hard right now. Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, boy, no.
Okay, so moving right along.
Let's do that.
What's next? You got tidbits,
next?
Right?
Yeah, we have tidbits.
Tell us about your tidbits.
Well,
show us your tidbits.
You show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Get out of town.
Okay.
Well, you know, I don't really have tidbits today, but I have a sort of, I read another thing that I loved. It's about women's anger.
Jay was trying to uplift the conversation.
Yeah, well, that's what we're doing. We're uplifting the conversation.
This could get funny.
But it was, I read an essay by a woman named, oh, geez, I didn't have that ready. You popped that on me too soon, Susan.
You know what? Is it
okay
with you?
Is it that time?
If we go do a couple little promos.
Yeah, let's do a promo and then I'll be ready to talk about this sexy tidbit.
We're gonna do just that. I'm gonna mic down and we're gonna listen to some fabulous underwriting.
Be sure to check out our annual Voice of Vashon Lip Sync Battle Birthday Bash beginning this Friday, October 1st. We're doing it online this year. Catch lip sync videos on voiceofvashon.org and vote for your favorites beginning this Friday. Votes will cost you a buck. Hey, it's a fundraiser. Thanks to The Pharmacy for sponsoring the event. Stay tuned for details. The Voice of Vashon Lip Sync Battle Birthday Bash starts this Friday on voiceofvashon.org.
This portion of Voice of Vashon programming is brought to you by PSCCU, proud to be Washington's Green Credit Union, practicing socially responsible banking by supporting sustainability, job creation, local economies, communities statewide, and our environment. Learn more at psccu.org.
Can't do what we do without our underwriters, like Vashon Market IGA and Vashon Plaza, one block west of the main highway, where you can find everything your family needs, from fresh produce to kids specials, legendary meats, wine, spirits, and movies. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
I wonder what legendary meats really are. Are these meats that are brought in by knights on horseback with their things? What are the things called? Their swords.
Their sword sticks.
Scepters, swords.
They're pokey things.
They're polo
Fires,
sticks.
Spears.
They're polo sticks.
Yeah. They're pokey things.
Okay, back to tidbits. So I was reading Salon, actually, and an author, a woman, whose name is Vanessa Zoltan, who is the author of Praying with Jane Eyre. And she wrote an essay that I thought was really interesting. She was, I don't know if she was in therapy or what, but she was sort of recounting her own issues of anger and resentment and how she reacts in the world of patriarchy, basically, when she's been abused or assaulted or squashed down, insulted, those kinds of things, and how she reacts. And she was really trying to see if she thought she was a mad woman, kind of, you know, because she'd been accused of it.
Am I crazy?
Yeah. Am I nuts?
Boy, don't we all do that?
Yeah. It's called gaslighting.
Yeah. Am I really nuts? Yes.
It happens. And yes, we start to believe the gas.
Yes. Right.
This woman, this Vanessa Zoltan, just kind of thought, well, wait a minute. And she's a Jane Eyre fan. And so she started thinking about Jane Eyre and the mad woman in the attic. And for those of you who don't know, the short version is she's the wife of the manor of the property, and he's banished her to the attic, and she's been there for 10 years. And everyone refers her to her as the mad woman in the attic. So Vanessa says, I don't think she's mad. I think she's pissed. And then she goes on to cite these things in the book that would make you mad too, like being locked up for 10 years.
Well, yeah, that would do it.
And, you know, she was hurt, and she's an angry woman that we've been calling a psycho woman for 100 years. And she was talking about how she thinks women are made to straddle this line of mad and angry and trying not to show too much of ourselves because we'll get in trouble for it. And I just thought it was really, really interesting. You know, the teasing, when she got teased, she was made to swallow her anger. And that's just a little thing.
Man.
I know.
But being deprived of your dignity, it's just icky.
It's just icky, that's for sure.
So I think it makes a mad woman in the attic matter.
Well, listen to this. Bertha Mason Rochester is the mad woman in the attic.
Yes.
And she lights beds on fire. She stabs people. She sneaks into rooms and rips veils, lights the house on fire. But the author says, when you look more closely at her actions, they make perfect sense. She sneaks out one night after 10 years of being locked up in the attic by her husband. Her caretaker has fallen too deeply asleep, and Bertha has stolen the key. She does not injure the caretaker, who has been paid to do the job. Bertha lights the bed of the man who is locking her up. She never lunges for the maids who come to help and tend her. But she stabs her brother, who knowingly leaves her locked in the attic.
Ooh.
And when she's in a room with the young woman who her husband is going to marry, she does not hurt the young, unknowing fiancé, who's Jane Eyre. That's Jane Eyre.
Okay.
And Bertha just rips up the veil as a warning. So, you know, that's just really interesting.
Yeah, and I see some literary construct there.
Mm-hmm.
That being the woman in the attic represents all the women,
yes,
who have been downtrodden,
yes,
oppressed, etc. And I have some ethical issues with Jane Eyre. How come, mm-hmm, she's going to marry this guy knowing that his wife has been locked up in the attic?
Well, see, I don't remember,
no,
and I'm not going to read that book
I don't
again,
either, but it seems unethical to me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm sure
it was. Doesn't matter with that girl.
Yeah, but does she know he's married to that woman?
We don't
know. I don't know that.
I thought, and it's been a long time since I read this story, I thought he claimed he was a widower.
That dog.
Oh, so she doesn't know.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
I need to read the
book
again, but I know I
won't. If there are any literary scholars out there.
We need you badly.
Yes, we need you now.
We need you real bad. Well, okay, so that led me down another rabbit hole.
Mm.
About what people do in their spare time. And it was kind of like it was kind of a thread of women who are upset, women who are mad, maybe women who've been abused. I don't know how it happened, but anyway, I started going down this place. And what I found was that women love to listen to true crime podcasts. Big time. It's a very popular genre. And there are six major themes that these women love. This is a study. Love of a good story, uniqueness of audio media, the educational value of true crime podcasts.
Ha.
Education, value. Yeah. Now, just wait a minute. Connection to lived experiences and the potential therapeutic role of true crime narratives and the community connections forged by listening to them. And so somewhere in here I have...
Didn't you say a high percentage of those listeners were women who'd been abused?
Yes, yes. And here's why they listen to it. They identify.
Yep. Sure.
And the female domestic violence survivors in true crime podcast audiences are using this emerging media in unprecedented ways and challenging the patriarchal nature of the criminal justice system. They demonstrated they formed a collective identity and a virtual community where their voices are heard. And their primary emotions that they feel when they're listening to these are gratitude for not being there anymore, for knowing what they know, forgiveness. I don't know details on that. Understanding, learning to understand others, and trust your gut. Was a big one.
Ooh, that's a big one. Now that's kind of ubiquitous among women. The fact that our culture and many cultures before us have told women that their voices are really not the truth, that they should not listen to their own voices. They should listen to the voices of the, here he comes, of the men.
Oh, I'll go let him in. Hang on.
The following your instinct thing is so big.
Yeah.
And okay, I'm currently obsessed, and is not a true crime podcast. It is the real life story of Gabrielle Petito, who had 1.2 million Instagram followers. She was a bit of an influencer, 22 years old.
The one who just died.
And she was found dead
in
Grand Teton at a campsite. It's believed that, that her boyfriend was a person of interest.
Yeah.
I'm going to fire up your mic. You're ready. You're hot.
Hey,
you're
everybody.
Hot.
Am I on?
Yeah, everybody's on.
Okay. Am I here?
You're on too.
So we have a guest today, and are we done with that part?
Kind of, but
we could go on forever.
We could.
You can go down a rabbit hole with the Gabby Petito thing, because talk about following your gut, and I'm just waiting for them to catch that guy.
I know.
And hopefully get some answers and figure out
they'll catch him.
Of the story. I'm going to turn that microphone off and you go ahead and get yourself squared away.
Heidi Dog the Bounty Hunter signed up.
I know. I love that.
I love it.
And you know what? Let him.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt anybody.
I say so.
Yeah. Let that happen. All right.
So anyway, just to wrap that up. Yeah.
Well, I want to add one thing to that,
please.
Because I think particularly in those podcasts, if indeed there is justice served, there's a catharsis that women experience.
Yes.
If the guy has to pay for being abusive.
Yep.
Yep.
There's a catharsis there.
Total sense of the justice chip on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And that's why I like it. And I dig it. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed on the Gabby Petito, Brian Laundrie thing, too.
Yeah.
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 Well, I'm obsessed with the TV series Homeland.
I know. I love that show.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Haven't seen it.
Thank you for listening to that. And I know it wasn't tidbits, but I just thought it was really interesting stuff.
Oh, very.
So we have a guest that I'm going to introduce in just a second. But first, I want to read a little piece. We're going to talk about busy. Wait a minute.
Busy, busy, busy.
I'm late, I'm late, I'm late! Now this is curious. What could a rabbit possibly be late for? Please, sir!
I'm late, I'm late, for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye, I'm late, I'm late, I'm late.
It must be awfully important, like a party or something.
Like a deadline.
So our subject matter this afternoon is busy, 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 and how busy everybody is and how late we always are sometimes. And our guest today is James Norton of Bagel fame.
James of Bagel fame.
What happened?
The Bagel Man.
Yeah, what happened? Hi, James. Welcome to the studio.
Hello.
We invited James here basically to talk to us about how busy he is. And he was too busy to be here for the whole hour. So
I heard I got to sit down.
So then you could come and sit down.
You got that.
Yeah. You know, we just love Cafe Vino Olio and the bagels that are there and what you're doing. And it looks like it was meant to be in this little spot. But I'm pretty sure you had some challenges in setting up a business during COVID.
Jeez. Oh yeah. Well, we talked about this a little.
We did.
There was no grand plan. As far as looking to do a cafe. So the whole thing slightly came out of the blue. I've been in corporate America jobs, large CPG companies for years and years and years. So that was rounding out for me for many different reasons.
Excuse me for 1 minute to interrupt because I didn't really properly introduce you. James is the owner and, I don't know, operator and general raconteur of Cafe Vino Olio, which is just down the street from the studio. And prior to that, as he just said, he was in the corporate world. And the first time I met James, we talked about the differences of the stress you feel in the corporate world and then the stress that you feel and the busyness that you feel when you're doing something for yourself that you really love. And I know that you had learned a lot in the corporate world about how to treat people, your employees, and the general public. There's so much to talk about in that realm. Mm-hmm. And how did you decide that that's what you were going to do in that little place?
Mm. I think it was so much about the need and the desire to shift and change. Mm-hmm. And I felt like from inside of the COVID experience that for me, it allowed me to see around a corner for myself.
Oh.
And truthfully, it was happenstance. I met, you know, Mike, the owner of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew him previously, but we met kind of in a happenstance way again. And we started talking about some other things, not associated necessarily with the cafe.
Interesting.
And I was just, I knew he had his hands in some wine and food things. And we were just kind of talking about that and coffee and different things. And the opportunity came up about the cafe, which I didn't know about previously and wasn't really in the market for. But it just started to build enough information that I turned more attention to it and started to get excited about it. And I never really, I didn't think I was incapable. I always felt capable of that type of business because my family has owned restaurants and I've been around them. And I know kind of good service. So I feel like I have some stripes in that, in those areas. But obviously for the last 30 years, I've been doing very different type of work. But
right.
It seemed like you mentioned there were some applications, some experiences from the corporate world that I was able to kind of go, I don't want to do that.
Right. That part's good.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's the guiding, there's been some guidance there from that. Mm-hmm. Definitely. All your experiences stack up and then you find yourself today and you're either going to use those experiences to expand and go forward and do something that you want to do, or you're going to use those experiences to kind of implode and say, I don't have power to change. And that really was what it came down to.
Really, really interesting.
You know you need to change. And I started just looking around.
What brought up the bagel?
Well, they were doing bagels already. So,
but were they the same?
Good?
They weren't that good. I can't absolutely speak for, I mean, I'll have to let the fans speak. But I think that there was, the concept was in place, but and Mike and Liz will say this truthfully, there was just it needed a driver.
I see.
Someone who was a lot of skin in the game, who was going to do the things necessary to really drive that, and that's me. And
well, so that becomes kind of the owner manager thing. Yeah,
absolutely.
In a small business.
And there is no way to be a distant owner of these types of businesses.
I didn't want to be
the guy to come by and everybody gets nervous and things drop off the shelf.
Right.
I just wanted to be in, and that's, to be honest, the most rewarding part of it. Mm. Obviously, people enjoying what we're doing and coming in and seeing those faces mm-hmm. regularly. But probably right there at the top of that, what I really am enjoying is just the interaction with the people that mm-hmm. on our team. Mm-hmm. Those that have been there before me, some that have come since, younger people. I'm really loving the energy.
That's wonderful.
Being different, being a different experience for those that come through our world in the cafe. And I think that so far I felt we've been able to do that. We've had some great response from the folks that are, you know, that have been there a while. A couple have already left, as people do. Transition.
Oh, yeah.
Alex Davis moved back to Nashville, but we had just such an amazing time, and we built things within the business by really trying to allow people to be there 100%.
James, this is Susan, and I have a couple questions. One, I'd like to just say that energy permeates throughout the store.
It really does.
It's a really pleasant place to be.
It really does.
You've created a nice ambiance with that energy that you're so attracted to. But I want to know, in the process of setting up this business during COVID and with your ideas of what a restaurant should be, et cetera, what surprised you? What were the big surprises that went, oh, how am I going to make that work?
Well, I think part of starting this project in the middle, new to me, so having not done it before, it gave me a little bit of a break from a huge shift that COVID caused throughout the industry, throughout all industries, anybody connected to a supply chain. So within that, I kind of had just, there was so much of a curve that, and it was within the COVID, you know, overlay, which was mainly supply chain, mainly cost of goods,
the costs,
all those things.
Sure.
I came in at a point where, yes, I'm seeing those things. Mm-hmm. I'm working with those numbers. You know, we're at a point now where obviously prices are really starting to creep up and climb
they
up
are.
For everything that we buy.
Wow. Yeah.
But it's been that way. So it's kind of been a given mm-hmm. around the way that we've been doing business since starting in April.
I was going to ask, when did you open in April?
We took ownership in April.
Okay.
It wasn't that very long.
It
was
pretty recent. The cafe side and mm-hmm. the pizza side, also the Mio sister business. We're neighbors, we interact, we share space, but we're separate businesses. So
yeah, I knew that. It wasn't always that way, though.
It wasn't. No, Mike and Liz owned the building,
right.
and you know, the cafe was another, was Pollard previous, mm-hmm. and then COVID, mm-hmm. you know, just changed a lot of things for a lot of people.
Well, so when you were talking about your corporate world and you wanted to get away from that, and I know part of that, what we're talking about today is productivity and busy. And I know that corporate world is very, very busy, and you obviously had to commute and do all that kind of stuff. How do you find busy now different from that busy? Because I know you're busy.
Well, I was fortunate. Mostly I was remote working for most of the time through all my corporate jobs that I had. So I was at home, mm-hmm. so home office, which has its own challenges.
Yeah. It
overlays on your family life in a different way. It's a different point of management. But mm-hmm. I didn't have the huge commuting part of it. So just,
okay.
But what I can really say kind of concisely about the different types of stresses, and you kind of touched on this, it's physically demanding.
Yeah.
The cafe is physically demanding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The moment I get there, there's a physical demand,
mm-hmm.
but I can name that demand and I can put it into my body and metabolize it and produce what I need to produce as far as what's necessary in that moment with the full knowledge of that entire kind of circle, if you will, of productivity. What I need to do, what are the priorities, mm-hmm. and then you just work on those. The difference between that and a remote corporate gig is you don't know what's coming.
Right.
You're in a world where there's probably 15 different departments and I was in sales, that can change your day
right now
like that.
Drop everything.
And say,
go.
Hey, we need to have this report done by this time.
Right.
Or so the stress was more around not having the ability to even create a routine.
Mm-hmm.
You can create a routine before you sit down at the desk and start taking Zoom calls and start going through all that. But once you hit that Zoom button start, it's off. It's not in you. It's nothing.
You've lost control
hands.
Of your day.
Nothing's in your hands
anymore.
And you have to give that over. Mm-hmm. I've seen that work and not work. For me, it was the beauty of those job was when my kids were small and I could do it and I could be at home and I could help out. I have a special needs son too, and not be out of the house all the time. There was traveling that was harder, but that was kind of the plus side of it. Once now my kids are older, they're not, you know, the demands in the house are different. That kind of coincided with me looking for something just to do, you know, with these last couple of decades, really.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what I'm at.
How old are your kids?
They're 30. So, oh, no, not 30. They're 29. Oh,
okay. They're
29s. 29. 26 and 24.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
Pretty close together. I think one thing that also came out of COVID for industry is the demand for, the importance of direct-to-consumer communications and goods. Like, people really wanted to connect in all different ways, meaningful ways, like us starting the show. With their products. There's a guy on the island who I know damn well he's a copywriter because his writing is too good not to be professional. Like, I know you're a copywriter full time in your day job, but he has a side gig and he makes bread, and you may be one of those people.
I
know
his
who I'm
bread.
Talking about.
Yeah, I do.
His emails are so damn good.
Yeah.
And his bread is really good too. But,
he does great product.
I think there's this hunger, but also an appetite and a desire for these
good
really
metaphors.
I'm hungry right now.
Me too.
These products. And and I think what you're delivering right now is such, it was, the timing was right.
I think so
and
too.
And we also needed bagels on this island really badly, right? But I just feel like you couldn't have done it better. Are you going to have, or do you have, direct-to-consumer communications?
We do.
Tell me
I
more.
I mean, it's... you know, more in the social side, so Instagram and building the Facebook. A lot of plans to do things.
Yeah.
So much of that is just stacked up against the day-to-day, you know, demands. But
it's hard.
With the coffee as well. So we have a coffee brand that we bought with the business.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Cafe Fioritas, and we roast that. We're roasting right now.
It's really
I've
good.
Seen
oh,
roast.
I heard,
nice.
They came in from the Thriftway parking lot saying, we can smell you over there.
That's cool. That's really cool.
So we're doing that, and that's we're selling wholesale.
Nice.
And also I'm working on a direct-to-consumer model, which is a coffee club.
Very cool.
We've got a few people signed up for already. So I'm kind of organically growing that.
Yeah.
Because it really has to be secondary to just keeping the, you know, I'm doing bagels morning.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There is a lot of value from multiple sides. The financial side of that is actually really clean.
Cool.
You're selling directly to someone.
Yes.
They're paying you directly.
Yes.
There's not sitting on a shelf. There's not all those other associated kind of expenses.
And fees.
So it's exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a positive model.
Mm-hmm.
It creates, you know, a lot of other types of communications outside of that are positive. People say, hey, you're doing this, and you have this consumer group that's turning on you.
Right.
So
yes.
You can market that, if you will.
And,
it's just takes some development, and we're kind of in the middle of getting started.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you know,
you're
well on your way.
I've always thought of that as community marketing.
Yeah.
In other words, you build a community around, around your business, essentially.
Yeah.
So people come not just for the food and not just for the coffee, though that has to be good, but they're proud to be part of it. And they see other people who share the same values and the same interest. And you and your employees become celebrities within that community.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to know, you know, I think what COVID woke up was, we want to know who the voice is behind, you know, the mic.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're sort of understanding that there's a lot more value to all the interactions that we have in the day than maybe we've given to them.
Mm-hmm.
Possibility of that being a more value in that area. So, and that's slowing down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's, a community like Vashon gives us that opportunity if we're fortunate enough to not have to commute off all the time, which is, it's just something that a lot of people have to do. And I totally understand that. It's a great place to come home to. I've done that.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
There's that also when you get off the ferry and you come here, I think that people have a high value for what Vashon can be in that community sense of, I'm connected to that business.
Right.
Like,
yes.
I know the people yes. that run it. I know mm-hmm. the way that they live. I know mm-hmm. their values to some, whatever mm-hmm. that might be. Mm-hmm. But I think there's, like, to that point, there's a high value in mm-hmm. in that aspect of a community-based
right.
business. And that's just who we are.
I mean, yeah.
My wife does the art in the back, which is
cool.
The
yes.
art. I love
that's
the
really
art.
Cool.
Oh,
yeah.
The art.
Adds an element of ambiance in there that's mm-hmm. just amazing. But, you know, that's her passion, and that's what she's done, and
that's
what
wonderful.
she's been able to plug in, and it changes the mm-hmm. mostly all Vashon artists. So
yeah.
again, another way to communicate that these are your mm-hmm. neighbors,
mm-hmm.
You know, these are people that live here.
You know, I read, I think it was New York Times, I don't know, but I was reading an article about a neighborhood in Brooklyn, and it was much the same of the things that you're saying now, and it was about reaching out and talking to somebody different and somebody you didn't know, and then all of a sudden you know them next week when you see them in the store or the coffee shop or whatever. So I'm heartened by the fact that we have our little tiny village that we love, and we tend to praise it for those small town mm-hmm. attributes. However, I think it's happening in little villages are happening in the cities.
Yeah.
And this mm-hmm. article was about how COVID has helped that happen
mm-hmm.
because people are staying in, they're staying enclosed, mm-hmm. they want to go to the safe places, and then we all become quote unquote friends.
You know? Heidi touched on it, and it's that, I think you called it appetite. It's an appetite for something personal.
Right.
Personal connections.
Yes, I agree.
We have learned by being isolated how hungry we are.
Really,
for that,
truly.
How much we need to be in contact mm-hmm. with others in genuine ways.
Yeah, it's that buzzword, authenticity. But it's so true.
Yeah.
You know what, guys? We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
VOV okay. programming support is provided by Island Escrow, Vashon's only independent escrow company providing comprehensive service for all types of real estate transactions since 1979. On the web at islandescrow.net.
VOV programming support is provided by Pandora's Box, Vashon Island's provider of quality pet foods at competitive prices. With over 100 years of combined knowledge and experience in pet care and pet nutrition, you'll find Pandora's Box on Vashon Highway, north of the main intersection.
Here we go, guys.
Okay. I would like to point out before we go any further with James that once again, Linda has managed to make this into a food show.
You did it. You
oh
planned
my God.
This all along.
I've been found out.
Knew it.
She's charged.
I knew it. Just don't bring bagels to her other show. Bring them here.
Okay. Yeah, right.
I will.
We were first.
You are listening to The Clatch, and we are speaking with James Norton, who's owner and proprietor of Cafe Vino Olio. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Is that wine and oil?
Wine and oil.
That's what
it sounds like. Baglio.
I'm allowing all pronunciations.
Okay, right on.
I like Baglio.
As long as you, I like that too.
Baglio.
Baglio. That's kind of cute.
Yeah, I like
that. I do
get
several recommendations for names every day.
I bet you do sometimes. I'm sure you do. Well, you know, we were talking about a little bit about busy, and I, your day, every time I've been in there, you're running.
Yeah,
you
literally.
Run from the front to the back and around a couple circles in the back, and then you go in the kitchen and you're doing something in there, and then you're running in the back with a 50-pound bag of something else, and then, you know, talking with the customers. Mm-hmm. So how is your day?
Oh, it's grace under fire, I think is the proper term, literally. I mean, you've seen our kitchen. It's tiny.
I can't believe you produce
kitchen.
In that
it's
what
more
you
of
do.
A food truck. Type environment.
Yeah, it is.
I've heard.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
I have a friend, an Islander friend, Matt, who mm-hmm. has a food truck and has given me a lot of great insights on
mm-hmm.
food truck operation because we
That's
kind of
handy.
Mimic
another
a lot
good
of that.
Vashon resource.
Absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely. So we were talking about something that's significant and or maybe throws me into the fire. It literally is that. I mean, our kitchen is small. We produce an incredible, at our busy times, the rushes, it's incredibly busy.
Mm-hmm.
The cool part is we're able to get two people functioning together in that small space where you're not on top of each other and you're actually weaving into both sides of doing it. It's
a
dance.
Choreography.
It is absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of always support. So there's the chef position and I'm always bringing what that person needs or trying to, you know, pulling the orders out or mm-hmm. whatever that might be. That's kind of what I do all around is the support side. Cause we have expert baristas, we have expert chefs, we have everybody in place, but there needs to be that runner in the middle kind mm-hmm. of facilitator, mm-hmm. Expediter, if you will.
Yep.
So that's kind of my hat.
Wow.
And it takes all those different forms,
sure.
you know, where different times of the day changes, but, you know, making sure the kitchen's stocked, making sure we're running the food out, mm-hmm. making sure that, you know, different things that, you know, might go on. We recently had an issue with ovens going down and I got my bagels in and out,
uh-oh.
But, you know, you're talking about things that need to get fixed that
mm-hmm.
everything depends on those.
That's big.
That happening. And we got there, but it just reminds you that, you know, you have this dependency on equipment
mm-hmm.
and all those things, and you can't control that.
No.
So I think ultimately it just comes down to understanding that this day could go wherever it wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you just
it's going anyway.
Just respect that and follow and cooperate.
Surrender
as best you
to
can.
It. Yeah.
Absolutely. And sometimes you're steamrolled and
bend like,
you know,
the willow.
Yeah.
Bend like the willow.
Absolutely.
I'd like to invite your choreographer to my kitchen when my husband
yeah.
and I are cooking in the kitchen together, because we haven't quite figured out the dance.
You're probably slam dancing.
It's a mosh pit.
Yeah, it's a mosh pit.
Chef Maddie is and Sammy Fall too are our kitchen folk who are just pretty. I mean, I think it's you see that. Probably in dance and in art, there's compatible personalities,
mm-hmm.
there's tension-based personalities. There's nothing wrong or right about them. Sometimes the tension brings out this incredible performance because, you know, and
right.
you've actually had that. I won't go into it, but
there's
the other where you just have compatibility about the way that you're configured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm tall, so I get everything that's on the top shelf. And someone else who's shorter, my wife is shorter, so she gets everything. So you have those types of, you know,
mm-hmm.
compatibilities. And it's been neat to look at this in that way too, where we're, you know, we serve the common purpose, putting grapefruit out for our customers and
being happy about it. They're always happy
yeah.
in there. They're
yeah.
always
we have
happy.
A good time.
Yeah.
It's and there's times when it's, we're really on fire because we're, you know, we've got 15 orders up,
I know.
And we cook out of one pot, maybe
yeah.
two sometimes. So,
well, I remember when, I think the second time I met you, I was in there and somebody was really crabby.
that
never happened. Not
right.
having a great day.
It was a customer, and
yeah.
this customer was crabby because, well, you were out of bagels or something. It was
Could
when you
been.
Very first opened.
Could have been.
You were still trying to figure out how many
yeah.
bagels do I need,
yeah.
you know? And your advice that you, I just have to repeat this. The advice that you gave me was, listen, if you want bagels, get here before 11.
We've
no
expanded.
Bagels for you.
We've expanded that time frame to 11:30.
Oh,
we're
good.
Working on it. No, but it has come down to, you know, running out when you make as many as you can make in a day
uh-huh.
is not a bad thing.
No.
And I have that. I have to manage that personality if I don't want to disappoint anybody.
Well,
it's probably,
right.
I didn't do therapy for that, but anyway.
Oh, maybe you better now.
It's a positive, but it's also one of those things where sometimes someone just comes in disappointed. And
mm-hmm.
The goal changes to how do we make this a little bit better moment. Mm-hmm. And I think we're pretty successful, but sometimes you just have to say, that one I can't help you with.
Yeah.
I have come in there hangry and denied food. And it's usually right before I have a reggae show.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Oh.
It's on hiatus. And boy, that is very disappointing.
So just
yes,
on that note, we're
please.
Expanding.
Come on.
So we stopped, the kitchen stopped serving at 2.
Okay.
So this bagel sandwiches and whatnot, but
yes.
we are expanding our grab and go. My wife is kind of stewarding that,
cool.
that department of yeah. grab and go. So we have, right now she has some Asian pear salad.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Amazing. Oh,
mix.
Wow.
In the cooler.
Yeah. So yeah, that's
it's
perfect.
It's going to become a cooler game. Grab and go.
Yeah.
Oh,
get a,
good.
Get a plastic knife.
I love that.
And
wonderful.
So
no plastic fork.
We can
biodegradable.
We'll just bring our own.
Made out of corn, compostable. Yeah,
but
whatever.
Audience, you should see him rolling his eyes.
But it kind of comes down to shifts.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
we
I
have to
it.
Start at 6 to
yeah.
get the bagels wow. in and get them out and get them out. So we it just, you don't really want to stretch someone's day to 10 hours. So
yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah. yeah. I just have to note that it's not every restaurateur I've spoken to who is as adroit and as interested in the human nature of what's going on in his business, including I've heard you made comments about your staff, your family, your customers that indicate tremendous insight into human nature. And it's almost as though that's the driver behind mm-hmm. your business, is your understanding of human nature. Fascinating to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I think so too.
I appreciate that. I like to think that, you know, the key to appreciation is loving people. You
period.
Know? That means different things in different,
yeah.
you know, contexts. But if you don't have the openness to even bring joy to a situation that may be challenging, it's going to get worse, right? It's going mm-hmm. to go off. You're going to match up with that person's whatever's going on. But if you can bring joy as best you can, then there's that possibility for it to open up and everybody has a better moment and you walk away. And I just believe in that.
James.
That we interact with that. So.
And on that note, James, I agree with what Susan said. On that note, we're going to switch subjects again.
Yes.
Because Heidi has an announcement to make.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just going to turn the mic over to Heidi.
I'm not pregnant, first of all.
It's about...
Thank God.
No. I am going to be taking a bit of a hiatus. I will be more sporadic in my appearances with the ladies here at the Klatch. My former employer, which is a very large wine producer in the United States, has had me come back on as an interim communications director. And so I am slammed. And a lot of the things that James just talked about... I'm feeling right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, do my armpits smell? Because I'm so full of adrenaline from these work days.
Oh,
I literally
goodness.
Jumped off a computer and we're using this project management software called Airtable and everything just flies in and then it emails you every time something flies in. And so he's talking about those 13 different people and how everything goes to hell after a Zoom meeting. And I'm feeling it. Mm. I'm living it and
wow.
I am there for it.
Wow.
So.
Oy.
As we go, I'll probably alternate mm-hmm. the show. So I'll be here about once a month. And then I love you guys. It's
well,
not
we
personal.
Love you too. And it's not going to be the same yeah. without you. We don't. We will have some other guests who will be lively and wonderful and
yeah,
brilliant.
Our next one is Cece Stone,
yeah.
who has been a voice of Vashon personality on a couple of different shows.
Just mm-hmm. the name Cece Stone. I'm
I mean,
ready for
come
some
on,
blues music.
Cece Stone. Just call Cece Stone.
It's Red Velvet.
Yeah.
yeah. right.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left. Who wants to talk about something?
I just want some bagels now.
Really? I'm really hungry.
I have to go get
important
one.
Topic. Boiled and baked, correct?
Yes.
This is like boxes
yes.
briefs.
Oh,
or
we
got
both?
We got to
so
cover
traditionally.
That.
So okay. yeah, traditional method. Fully traditional method.
And I love it that you used Malden salt.
Yes.
Oh, oh yeah. They're so good. I could use a little more salt.
You can have it.
Yeah, it's so
you can
good.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
I suppose 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there are no bagels
there
left.
There are today.
I bet there would be.
We went a little heavy.
Good.
And actually, it was good.
How
thing
do you
did.
Gauge that, though, really?
Yeah, really.
You, is there like a gut thing
there,
about that,
know,
too?
Our system gives us pretty good count.
Yeah.
And we have a pretty good gut feeling mm-hmm. on our days, but we have not seen a significant drop. So that part has been, you know, has which was expected to some degree,
mm-hmm.
but our weekend, you know, everything's been.
Do you mean since the end of tourist season? Is
yeah,
that what you mean by drop?
That was.
Yeah.
These are called the shoulder
uh-huh.
months.
And I'm sure we'll mm. see some seasonal,
mm-hmm.
but I think that, you know, Vashon is an enlivened center these mm-hmm. days and people are really,
mm-hmm.
you know, really coming up here for involvement,
oh, yeah.
engagement, and I love it. And
yep.
you know, hopefully cool. that's a trend that continues to, because it's
so
what
too.
Makes a town, it's what makes the small town part of it really cool, is if people frequent it and come up for more than just going to the grocery store. Nothing wrong with the grocery store, but you know,
yeah, but there's other stuff to do.
Walk around town, see what's up.
There's
look
other
in the
stuff to do.
People on the radio.
And we love the tourists when they come.
Absolutely.
I don't like the tourists at
I'm
the four-way
for
stop.
I'm looking sincerity in your eyes. You're serious.
I'm serious.
She's talking about money. It's
I'm
capitalism.
Talking about,
it's a whole, see, that's a whole other show.
That is a whole other show.
Behavioral
yeah.
norms and things are different. It's pretty interesting.
I know.
You get folks from everywhere.
James, thank you so
You're
much.
Welcome.
You've
Thanks
been listening to
me.
The Clatch. Thanks for coming. And
Thanks
we'll
for listening.
See you in a couple weeks.